The next Keytruda. Welcome to this audio issue of Tech Frontiers, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. A dramatic new approach to fighting cancer. In the mid-1990s, a young surgeon at UCLA Medical School began to notice something unsettling about the way the medical community treated cancer. The surgeon was Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, then a rising transplant specialist whose work involved moving organs from one human body to another. Transplant surgery offers an unusually intimate view of the immune system in action. Every transplant is essentially a race between two opposing forces: the patient's immune system trying to reject the foreign organ and physicians attempting to modulate that response just enough to allow the organ and the patient to survive. Watching these immune battles unfold day after day gave Dr. Soon-Shiong a paradoxical insight that would shape the rest of his career. The human immune system was extraordinarily powerful, capable of rejecting a new organ within hours, yet in cancer patients it often seemed strangely paralyzed, allowing malignant cells to grow unchecked. Even more troubling, many standard cancer treatments appeared to make the problem worse. Chemotherapy and radiation might shrink tumors in the short term, but they often did so by crushing the very immune cells that might otherwise help the body finish the job. Dr. Soon-Shiong eventually left academia to pursue a new idea: that modern medicine needed therapies capable of working with the immune system rather than simply attacking tumors directly. His first great success came through the development of Abraxane, an innovative albumin-bound formulation of the chemotherapy drug paclitaxel that improved delivery of the medicine directly into tumors while reducing toxicity. Abraxane quickly became a blockbuster oncology drug used in breast, lung, and pancreatic cancers. In 2010, Dr. Soon-Shiong's company Abraxis Bioscience was acquired by Celgene for $2.9 billion, one of the most successful biotech exits of that era. Dr. Soon-Shiong had already built another pharmaceutical success even before Abraxis. American Pharmaceutical Partners had been sold in 2008 to Fresenius SE's subsidiary Fresenius Kabi for approximately $3.7 billion. By the time those two deals were completed, Soon-Shiong had created well over $6 billion in shareholder value across two discrete life sciences startups, an extraordinary track record even by biotech standards. Most entrepreneurs might have retired at that point. Dr. Soon-Shiong instead turned back to the question that had first gripped him in the transplant ward: how to harness the immune system itself as a coordinated weapon against cancer. This effort eventually led Dr. Soon-Shiong to found a biotechnology company built around a bold thesis: that cancer is a disease not only of uncontrolled cell growth, but also of the immune system's failure to recognize and destroy malignant cells. At the center of that thesis is Anktiva, a path-breaking therapy designed to restore and amplify the immune system's natural cancer-fighting machinery. If Dr. Soon-Shiong's vision proves correct, Anktiva may prove not to be another innovative oncology drug. It may help instead usher in a new paradigm in cancer treatment. This month, we recommend Immunity Bio, IBRX, investing alongside Dr. Soon-Shiong, the company's largest and majority shareholder. And to elaborate the case for doing so, we'll rely on a variant of the investment framework for biotech that has served us well at Tech Frontiers, touching on the science, the opportunity, the capitalization table and balance sheet, the catalysts, the risk/reward, the big picture backdrop. Let's begin. The science. When we focus on life sciences at Tech Frontiers, we often search for companies developing distinctive, best-in-class therapies that have a high likelihood of transforming the standard of care in an important disease area. Readers should recognize this characteristic from our portfolio: Sagimet Biosciences, NASDAQ, SGMT, Denifanstat is a first-in-class FAN inhibitor that stands to change how we approach two major disease categories, fatty liver disease as well as acne. Alnylam Pharmaceuticals, NASDAQ, ALNI, is the leader in developing siRNA therapies, the most important new medical modality since monoclonal antibodies, MABS. TG Therapeutics, NASDAQ, TGTX, jewel in the crown asset, Briumvi, is on its way to establishing itself as the best-in-class anti-CD20 therapy for MS in biotech as in other competitive domains. There's no substitute for having something that's both different and better. Immunity Bio stands poised to achieve this kind of differentiated breakthrough in cancer. For more than half a century, the standard of care in cancer treatment has followed a brutal but understandable logic: kill the tumor as aggressively as possible. High-dose chemotherapy and radiation are, in essence, a scorched earth strategy. They kill rapidly dividing cancer cells, but they also devastate rapidly dividing healthy cells, including hair follicles, the gut lining, bone marrow, and most crucially, the immune system itself. Oncologists monitor red blood cells and neutrophils after chemotherapy because they know levels of these will crash. But medicine has historically paid less attention to lymphocytes, the natural killer, NK, cells and T cells that are the body's true cancer-fighting commandos. This is not a minor detail. In fact, it may be the central flaw in conventional cancer therapy. When chemotherapy induces lymphopenia, a dangerously low level of lymphocytes, it can leave patients unable to mount a durable immune response. The tumor may shrink temporarily, but the very immune cells required to eliminate residual disease and create long-term immune memory to fight cancer have been weakened or destroyed. The collateral damage to the immune system induced by chemotherapy may help explain an uncomfortable fact in modern oncology. Even breakthrough immunotherapies such as Keytruda, Merck's PD-1 inhibitor and the best-selling drug in the world, work in only a small number of patients. In many major tumor types, Keytruda's response rate hovers around 30% or less. Checkpoint inhibitors such as Keytruda function by taking the brakes off T cells. However, they implicitly assume that a patient has enough T cells present and functional to begin with. If chemotherapy has already depleted these T cells, or if the tumor microenvironment has rendered them inactive, releasing the brakes does little good. This is the paradigm that Anktiva, ImmunityBio's lead asset, seeks to transform. Anktiva is an IL-15 receptor superagonist. Let's break that down. Interleukin-15, IL-15, is a naturally occurring cytokine, a signaling protein the body's immune system uses to grow, activate, and sustain NK cells and CD8 plus killer T cells. In its native form, IL-15 is short-lived and difficult to use therapeutically. Anktiva is a bioengineered fusion protein that mimics IL-15 but binds more efficiently to its receptor complex and thereby persists longer in the body. In effect, it acts as a long-acting amplifier of the immune system's cytotoxic arm, stimulating proliferation and activation of NK and memory T cells without significantly expanding regulatory T cells that dampen immune responses. Whereas chemotherapy suppresses the immune system, Anktiva aims to restore and amplify it. Anktiva's approach has already been powerfully validated in the clinic. In the pivotal QUILT 3.032 study of BCG-unresponsive non-muscle invasive bladder cancer, MIBC, Anktiva combined with BCG achieved complete response rates in approximately 71% of patients, with durable responses extending beyond 3 years in many cases. Remarkably, the majority of responders were able to preserve their bladders despite their cancer, avoiding radical cystectomy. The disease-specific survival in the Anktiva arm at 36 months approached 99%. These are not incremental gains. This is meaningful, durable immune control of disease in a population with few remaining options. But the ambition goes far beyond bladder cancer. ImmunityBio's broader Cancer BioShield platform builds around a simple but powerful thesis. Cancer is not only a problem of uncontrolled cell growth, but also a problem of immune system failure. Treating the disease fully requires helping the immune system regain its strength. Instead of burning down the forest with chemotherapy, ImmunityBio's Cancer BioShield platform harnesses three interlocking principles: rebuild and rearm the patient's immune system. Cancer therapy has long accepted lymphopenia, the depletion of NK cells and T cells, as collateral damage. Cancer BioShield explicitly targets that weakness. By restoring and expanding cytotoxic lymphocytes through IL-15, base stimulation, NK cell therapies, and related modalities, the platform seeks to reconstitute the very immune forces required for durable tumor control. Turn immune cold tumors into immune hot tumors. Many solid tumors evade destruction by excluding immune cells or down-regulating the molecular signals, such as MHCI, that allow T cells to recognize them. BioShield aims to reverse this immune invisibility, increasing NK and T cell infiltration, promoting interferon signaling, and resensitizing tumors to immune attack. Build a combinatorial backbone for immunotherapy 2.0. Rather than replacing checkpoint inhibitors, chemotherapy, or cell therapy, BioShield is designed to serve as an immune backbone across them, enhancing checkpoint inhibitor efficacy, supporting CAR NK and cell therapies, and potentially mitigating treatment-induced immune collapse. The strategy is to coordinate innate and adaptive immunity so that therapies work in concert instead of in isolation. The goal is not merely tumor shrinkage, but also immune system restoration. If ImmunityBio's thesis proves correct, cancer treatment may shift from short-term assault on tumors to sustained immune orchestration, where the immune system's memory T cells and NK cells maintain pressure on the disease long after an infusion ends. In this framing, Anktiva is not merely another oncology drug. Instead, it's potentially the first-ever lymphocyte rescue agent, an immune analog to drugs like Neupogen, which restores neutrophils, or Epogen, which restores red blood cells, both of which are staples of oncology medicine. Put differently, Anktiva and Immunity Bio's Cancer Bio Shield hold promise to be the biggest standard of care change in cancer since the introduction of checkpoint inhibitors themselves. The opportunity, if you're right, you've got to get paid. My old boss Julian H. Robertson would repeat this mantra in his booming voice with a smile. At Tech Frontiers, we aim to get paid by identifying opportunities which, if they unfold as we expect, will earn us a 2x to 3x return or better. To ensure that they can do that, it helps to quantify an innovation's addressable market, its likely market penetration, and its potential pricing. This arithmetic enables us to estimate its likely range of peak revenue, and from that peak revenue range, its expected value to the company. Here are the key calculations for Anktiva. Today, Anktiva principal approval is in BCG unresponsive, non-muscle invasive bladder cancer, a meaningful but relatively narrow cancer indication. That market alone can support in the range of several hundred million dollars to a low single-digit billions in annual revenue. But the real opportunity emerges when we examine Anktiva not as a niche, second-line therapy for bladder cancer, but instead as an immune backbone therapy with expanding approvals across multiple high-prevalence tumor types. Let's begin with non-small cell lung cancer, the largest solid tumor market in oncology. There are approximately 200,000 new cases of non-small cell lung cancer annually in the U.S. alone, and over 2 million globally. A substantial portion, 70% to 80%, of these patients eventually fail checkpoint inhibitors such as Keytruda. In this checkpoint failure population, where survival is measured in months, Anktiva has already secured conditional approval in Saudi Arabia and is undergoing global phase 3 trials. If Anktiva wins approval and eventually captures even 15% of the global checkpoint failure population by 2030, an ambitious but achievable aim, that would translate into roughly 150,000 treatable patients annually worldwide. Now let's layer in bladder cancer more fully. There are 50,000 to 60,000 new non-muscle invasive bladder cancer cases annually in the US and approximately 450,000 cases globally. It's plausible that Anktiva will one day become a first-line therapy for a majority of these cases, but let's proceed conservatively and assume it captures only 50,000 of these patients annually by 2030. This scenario seems eminently achievable given Anktiva's already demonstrated commercial traction in non-muscle invasive bladder cancer and rapid global expansion into 33 countries, including in Europe. Next, consider glioblastoma, GBM, the most common form of malignant brain cancer. Recurrent GBM has essentially no effective therapies, it's a death sentence, and 95% of initial GBM cases eventually recur. There are 13,000 to 14,000 new GBM cases diagnosed annually in the US, and approximately 150,000 globally. If Anktiva eventually finds approval as a second or third line therapy for these patients, and reaches about 15% by 2030, that would amount to an additional 20,000 patients per year. This scenario too seems achievable given Anktiva's remarkable early trial results in refractory GBM cases as well as in compassionate use. Now let's build the unit economics by focusing on the arithmetic of price and volume. Anktiva has a typical treatment course of approximately 10 doses per patient per year, at a net realized price of approximately $25,000 per dose. That equates to gross sales of about $250,000 per patient annually, which is consistent with modern oncology pricing for checkpoint inhibitors as well as cell therapies. Keytruda's annual treatment cost is in this range, about $150,000 to $200,000 per patient per year, while cell therapies such as CAR T therapy significantly exceed it. Anktiva, as an immune backbone therapy, is priced in line with standard oncology economics, not at a premium. If by 2030 Anktiva treats 150,000 non-small cell lung cancer patients, 50,000 non-muscle invasive bladder cancer patients, 20,000 patients in refractory glioblastoma, that sums to approximately 220,000 cancer patients annually. At $250,000 per patient per year, Anktiva's annual revenue would be $55 billion, twice that of Keytruda, currently the best-selling drug in the world. I don't think any of the assumptions we've made are heroic. To the contrary, we've deliberately omitted Anktiva's potential applications in many other types of solid cancer where it will likely have a similarly transformative effect, and in which Immunity Bio is already running active trials. We've also omitted potential revenue contribution from diseases beyond cancer, where Anktiva will also likely find potent therapeutic traction as an immune system activator, for instance, in infectious diseases such as COVID. Furthermore, we do not need Anktiva to achieve our full revenue target to justify a compelling investment thesis. If we cut our assumptions in half, we still arrive at $25 billion in annual revenue, matching Keytruda. However, our analysis does rest on two critical assumptions. Both conditions I believe are likely to play out positively, but are not bulletproof. First, Anktiva must win expanded regulatory approval for multiple cancer indications. Today, Anktiva has U.S. approval in only a single indication, BCG unresponsive non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. It just won approval for the same indication in Europe, where ImmunityBio will launch Anktiva commercially in 2026. And Anktiva has won conditional approval for non-small cell lung cancer in Saudi Arabia, an important victory because it enables the company to build a real-world track record treating lung cancer patients, a track record other geographies will be watching very closely. As we'll discuss in further details in our catalyst section, in 2026 and 27, ImmunityBio will seek significant expansion of Anktiva's label to other cancer indications in the US and around the world. In oncology, once a drug demonstrates backbone potential and immune synergy, label expansion tends to follow, particularly in checkpoint refractory populations with few alternatives. Furthermore, ImmunityBio Executive Chairman Dr. Xun Xiang has strong relationships with key members of the Trump administration, which could help on the regulatory front in the U.S. We are optimistic that ImmunityBio will achieve a much broader label for Anktiva over the coming 2 to 3 years. Of course, the company must garner these regulatory approvals in order to reach and surpass Keytruda's revenue. Second, ImmunityBio must demonstrate it can manufacture Anktiva at scale. Anktiva is a highly bioengineered protein and belongs to a category of therapies known as biologics, which differ from drugs made via chemical synthesis. Producing millions of Anktiva doses to the exacting manufacturing standards required by the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, and the European Medicines Agency, EMEA, is no small feat. Fortunately, ImmunityBio has invested upfront to address this manufacturing challenge. Unlike many biotech companies that rely on third-party contract manufacturing organizations, CMO, ImmunityBio has vertically integrated its production capacity. Central to this vertical integration is the company's 410,000-square-foot, state-of-the-art fill-finish facility in Dunkirk, New York. The Dunkirk plant transitions to full commercial-scale production this year and is designed for billion-dose capacity as well as vaccine-level output. For Anktiva specifically, scaling to 1 million to 2 million doses annually is operationally feasible within that infrastructure. At 10 doses per patient, 220,000 patients require over 2 million doses, but this scale lies well within the company's projected manufacturing envelope. Of course, ImmunityBio will need to prove that it can execute at such scale, a manufacturing challenge the company has planned for but not yet proven out to date. If Anktiva reaches $55 billion in annual revenue by 2030, and we apply a valuation based on 2.5x revenue to peak sales, we arrive at $137 billion in enterprise value, EV, or over 13x the company's EV today. If we cut our revenue target 50% and then discount back the company's projected future EV by 5 years at a 20% discount rate, we still arrive at a present value north of $25 billion, or nearly 3x ImmunityBio's current EV of $9 billion. Regardless which of these calculations we use, the upside if we're directionally right about ImmunityBio is more than enough to satisfy Julian's exhortation to get paid. The capitalization table and the balance sheet. At Tech Frontiers, we pay close attention to a company's capitalization table, cap table, because, as Charlie Munger famously put it, incentives matter. One of the strongest signals we can observe in any investment is whether the people closest to the business have meaningful skin in the game. When founders, insiders, and large shareholders own significant stakes in a company, their fortunes rise and fall alongside ours. While that alignment of incentives can't guarantee success, it's often a powerful predictor of the persistence, discipline, and long-term thinking essential to a company's achieving its potential. In ImmunityBio's case, the alignment of incentives could hardly be stronger. That alignment begins with founder and chairman Dr. Patrick Xun Xiang. According to the company's most recent Schedule 13D filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, Dr. Xun Xiang owns approximately 66.3% of the company's outstanding shares, roughly $745 million in total. At recent trading prices, that stake is worth between $7 billion to $8 billion. Most estimates place Dr. Xun Xiang's total net worth at $11 billion to $13 billion, so well over half of his personal fortune is tied to ImmunityBio's success. Dr. Xun Xiang's ImmunityBio holding is a strikingly concentrated ownership position for the founder of a public biotechnology company. Many biotech executives hold only a small percentage of their company shares after years of dilution through venture financing and public offerings. Dr. Xun Xiang's situation is the opposite. ImmunityBio is not simply another venture in the diversified portfolio of a successful entrepreneur. It's the central, dominant financial asset of his career. That fact creates one of the strongest alignments of interest we can imagine between management and shareholders. If Immunity Bio succeeds, Sun Xiang wins big alongside us. If it fails, he'll feel the financial pain more than anyone. This extraordinary insider ownership connects directly to another issue we examined carefully at Tech Frontiers: the company's balance sheet. Immunity Bio ended last year with roughly $240 million in cash and marketable securities, but the company's operating cash burn during the same period was approximately $300 million. In most biotech situations, a mismatch such as this between cash on hand and annual burn would raise an immediate red flag. A company in this position would ordinarily be forced to return repeatedly to the capital markets, issuing new shares at depressed prices and diluting existing shareholders in the process. But Immunity Bio's cap table fundamentally changes the equation. The company's filings explicitly note that its funding plans include the potential ability to borrow from affiliated entities controlled by Dr. Sun Xiang. In practical terms, this means the company has access to a financial backstop that very few small or mid-cap biotech companies enjoy: a controlling shareholder with both the willingness and the financial capacity to extend capital on friendly terms. Instead of being forced into dilutive equity raises at unfavorable moments, Immunity Bio can bridge periods of heavy investment through insider loans until commercial revenue begin to scale. That flexibility matters enormously at this stage of the company's development. Immunity Bio is transitioning from a clinical stage biotech to a commercial oncology company, a phase that almost always involves increased spending as manufacturing capacity, regulatory filings, and global commercialization efforts ramp simultaneously. With Dr. Sun Xiang's personal wealth so heavily tied to Immunity Bio's success, his incentives are crystal clear: provide bridge financing that protects shareholder value. The incentive follows naturally from Dr. Sun Xiang's identity as the number one shareholder in the company himself. As a result, the dilution risk that would normally accompany a balance sheet like Immunity Bio's is meaningfully mitigated by the structure of its cap table. Immunity Bio may well need to raise dilutive capital at some point, but we can rest assured that Dr. Sun Xiang will have exhausted other options first, and that any raise will be kept to an absolute minimum, as the shareholder suffering most from dilution would be Dr. Sun Xiang himself. The catalysts think of NVIDIA, NVDA, before the world understood the importance of their powerful GPU chips to artificial intelligence; Novo Nordisk, NVO, before the world grasped what Ozempic would do for obesity; or Palantir Technologies, PLTR, before the world deduced how AI would supercharge their software platform. I think Immunity Bio stands at the precipice of a similar reappraisal as the world comes to understand how broadly Anktiva could change cancer treatment. Three categories of catalysts will hasten this realization: commercial results, clinical trial readouts, and regulatory approvals. Let's examine each. Commercial launch. The first catalyst is commercial execution, an area in which Immunity Bio's momentum is already strong. Anktiva's product revenue grew from approximately $14.2 million in 2024 to approximately $113.0 million in 2025, or over 700% growth year over year. Strikingly, Anktiva generated $38.3 million in Q4 2025 alone, a $150 million annualized run rate that suggests Immunity Bio is already growing Anktiva sales at over 50% per quarter. What makes 2026 qualitatively different is that Immunity Bio is not trying to boil the ocean by building global commercial and